Amen.
More doctrinal song than Jesus Loves Me. Everybody say, oh, that's a kid's song. That's a Christian song. You can't get any better than that. Nothing. I mean, all the songs in the hymn book and all the good songs and doctrine, you know, it takes a song like Jesus Loves Me. That says it all. It says everything we need to know. Jesus loves me. If you're here today without Him, you need to know He loves you. And He died for you, and He wants to save you if you're not saved. Well, here in 1 Samuel 16, we have a story that most of us have heard before. Samuel, of course, is looking for the next king. Saul has disobeyed God, and Saul has disqualified himself from being the king. And so God sends Samuel to find the next king. And so Samuel goes to the house of Jesse. He knows that the king is going to come out of the house of Jesse. And as he goes, of course, verse 6 starts off, and immediately he goes to the most obvious candidate to be the king, Eliab, one of the sons of Jesse. And it says, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. This is going to be the king, Eliab. I mean, look at him. I mean, this guy's a soldier. He's intelligent. I mean, he's outwardly, this guy looks like he will be the king. But it's interesting, verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance. Wait a minute, we're not supposed to look at their countenance? No. Or on the height of his stature. Whoa, wait a minute. Don't we want somebody that's real big and strong? And wasn't that what Saul was? Wasn't Saul the tallest of all of them? That's what men are looking at. But God said, don't look at those things. Don't look at the countenance. Don't look on the height. Because I have refused him. And then God says this through Samuel. He says, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Now, folks, let's remember that, all right? The Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance. But look at that. The Lord looketh on the heart. Man will choose Eliab every time. If man doesn't choose Eliab, then certainly he's gonna choose Shema. I mean, these make sense. But the Bible said about Shema, neither hath the Lord chosen this. We think, come on, these are the ones, surely. But get this, in the title of the message this morning, the Lord looketh on the heart. And as these brothers are all passed before Samuel, you know, Jesse, obviously, this guy's got this talent, or this guy's got this talent, or this guy, you know, he's built this way, this guy can do this, but clearly, God says, I'm looking at their heart. I'll be honest with you folks, this morning, understand, God looks around this room, He's looking at your heart. He's looking at that part of you. And again, I'm not talking about your physical heart. I'm talking about who you really are. Your decision maker, your chooser, if you will, that part of you that is your will, your choice maker. That's what God's looking at. God's looking at our hearts. God's looking at who we really are. He's not impressed. You know, God determines whether you have hair or not. Amen. God determines if you're tall or not. God determines, what you look like. He determines your ear size. And He determines all those. He has all that under control. That's no big deal. But what are you going to choose? What have you chosen with your heart? You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever we say is determined by our heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So whatever we spend our money on, that's determined by our heart. You know, really everything, decisions we make, that's what God's interested in. What really are you? Who really are you? According to God in 1 Samuel, there was one there that didn't look the part, but his heart sure did. There was one there that God said, hey, you may not want to choose him, but I know his heart. And folks, this morning, God knows your heart as well. Father, bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts today and help us to gain some truth from the Word of God that will help us to have the kind of heart that would be pleasing to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Man looks at Eliab and says, there's the choice. But God sees the heart. The Lord looketh on the heart. And this morning, I want to show you some hearts that I believe God wants to see this morning. I believe God is looking around this room, and He does look at our hearts. And you say, oh, you know, I've got this accomplishment. I've got that accomplishment. And look what I've done. But God is wanting to see your heart today. And I want to show you some hearts in the Bible. And we're going to go very fast. And you might want to write these down, because we are going to go pretty fast. Because I have a lot of hearts to look at this morning. And we're going to look at some good hearts this morning from the Word of God. Tonight, we'll do part two, and those are going to be the not-so-good hearts. But this morning, let's start off Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. And what kind of heart is God looking for? Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. And we are going to go real fast here. Deuteronomy 5, 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. My first heart is such an heart. I didn't have anything to call it other than what God called it here, such an heart. Well, what kind of heart is it? Notice verse 28, it says, the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they've spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. What the people say? The people said, hey, we'll do what God says. And then God responds, oh, that there were such a heart in them. Oh, that they really will do what they say. Oh, that they really will love me. Oh, that they will have such a heart. It's the kind of heart that when you get up from the altar, when God has spoken to you and God has dealt with you and you've come and you said, God, this is what I will do. God, this is how I want to live. And God, please forgive me for doing what I did. And God says, oh, that you would have such a heart. Oh, that they would have that kind of heart, a heart that loves me, a heart that fears me, a heart that will keep my commandments always. Such an heart. Number two, Deuteronomy 6. And verse 5, let me ask you, do you have such a heart? Do you have that kind of a heart, the kind of a heart that is the exemplary Christian? Huh? Do you have the kind of heart that will fear God and keep God's commandments always? Number 2, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5 is our second kind of heart that we need to have. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. I call that number 2 a surrendered heart. All you have to do is look at the word all. It's a surrendered heart. It's the kind of heart that doesn't have anything held back from God. It's the kind of heart that doesn't have any little secrets that you think God does not know about and that you don't want anybody to know about. It's a surrendered heart. It's a heart that says, God, I'm open to you. I'll do anything you want me to do. I've surrendered to you, God. It's the kind of heart that when we sing, I surrender all at the invitation time, it's the kind of heart that can sing and smile and rejoice. Knowing that, God, you have all my heart. You have all of me. Look at Psalm 119:10. Keep your place there. Psalm 119:10. To reiterate what we just said. And there are many, many verses that would talk about this. Psalm 119, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Hey, do you have a surrendered heart where you can say, God, you have my whole heart? I like the song, true-hearted, whole-hearted. Amen. Faithful and loyal. Why? Because that's a Christian. That's someone who says, God, I do surrender all. Number one, such a heart. Number two, a surrendered heart. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1. We come to our third one. You say, how many do you have? I don't want to discourage you. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 1, it says, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. A singing heart. A singing heart is what we need to have. Hey, what does God see today as He looks on your heart? Well, I combed my hair. Well, I didn't, but you did. I brushed my teeth. I washed real nice and I've got on some real good deodorant. And some nice cologne. And boy, I'm wearing a nice red outfit. You know, hey, but God's not looking at that. You know what God's looking at? He's looking at your heart today. Hey, does He see such a heart today? Does He see a surrendered heart? Has He seen a singing heart? I'm not talking about just going through the motions. I'm talking about with my heart I'm singing. I'm rejoicing. As Hannah, as she prayed, she says, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." And she said, "I rejoice in thy salvation." Oh God, I'm so excited about the songs. Hey, did you thrill in your heart when Stacy was singing "Jesus Loves Me"? Did you think back to that day when you came to Jesus and you bowed your head and you called upon the Lord to save you, and He came in and He saved your soul? Thank God for a singing heart. You know, the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, better than popping pills is to have a merry heart, a singing heart, a thrilled heart, a heart that is rejoicing over the salvation that God has given you. Oh, to have God look down and see our hearts and see a singing heart, a heart that's rejoicing. I mean, you come into church and it's time for song service. Brother Don, wouldn't it be a blessing if you announce a song and folks just light up and they just can't wait to sing and they're excited about the song instead of... But you know what? That's what God sees. God sees your heart. God knows what you're singing. God knows if you're singing from your heart. Such a heart, a surrendered heart, a singing heart. Number four, 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Here's another heart that we need so desperately. 2 Kings chapter 22. And verse 19. 2 Kings 22, 19. "Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord." The king here has a sensitive heart, because God has told him that He is going to, that He is pronouncing judgment on the people, and it caused the king to weep. He had a sensitive heart. What's God see in your heart today? What kind of heart do you have? I mean, do you weep over the judgment of God? Or do you say something like, "Well, it just serves them all right"? I think about our blessed, wonderful country that God has blessed us with. And you know, the judgment of God is going to come down. It is. It's inevitable. It is going to happen. You're not, hey, look, we're not going to get away with murdering all these little babies. We're not going to get away with all the immorality that is going on in our country. Hey, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah over immorality. How do we think that we're going to get away with this? How do we somehow have this idea that America is going to be exempt from the judgment of God Almighty? How do we think it? People are living together today and living like animals today. How do we think God's just going to wink at that and, "Oh well, I'll let it go"? When's the last time you wept over your country? When's the last time you wept over a lost person? "Well, serves them right." Serves me right. Serves you right. We should have been crucified. We should have suffered and died. It's only by God's grace and God's mercy that we're not. And they need that same grace and that same mercy. When's the last time you wept over someone who's lost and the judgment of God is inevitable and going to happen to them? Oh, we need God's people. You know, when God looks at us, does he see a sensitive heart? A heart that weeps over lost mankind? Number five, Nehemiah 9 and verse 7. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 7. "Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham and foundest his heart." You see it? Foundest his heart faithful before thee and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. And here we see a steadfast heart of Abraham. found his heart faithful before thee. Here, God, here was a man, here was Abraham, he was a man that you could count on, he was a man who was faithful, he was a man that was not wavering, he was steadfast, he had a steadfast heart. You could count on him. Hey, Abraham was a guy that was willing when you said to go. Abraham said, I'll go. And you know, we look at that like, oh, well, that was no big deal. It was a huge deal for Abraham to follow and to do what God said. But he was steadfast and he was faithful. And God said, you know what? Here's somebody. I look on his heart. I can count on him. Here's somebody. I know he's going to do what he says. Here's somebody, when he says it, it's as good as done. He's steadfast. Steadfast heart. What's God see in your heart today? What's God see? You say, well, I outwardly everything's looking good, but what's he see where it really matters, where God's looking? Because God's looking at our heart. A steadfast heart. Number 6, Psalm 4, verse 4. Boy, this is so important. And I'm afraid this happens too little among Christians. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Oh yeah, number 6, we see a still heart. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You know why so many people struggle with knowing that He is God? It's because you're never still. You don't talk to Him. You don't spend time with Him. You don't commune with Him where you can know that He is God. A still heart. Oh, but I got this to do and I got that to do and I'm just so busy and I'm so busy serving God. And let me remind you, Mary hath chosen the better part. Where's that? That's at the feet of Jesus. Just listening to Him. Be still and know that I am God. Quiet time with God. Hey, what kind of heart does God see? Oh, I get a lot done. Yeah, but do you ever talk to Him? Oh, but I'm a busy person. You know, I'm serving God. But when are you ever alone with God? Be still. A still heart. It's every bit as important as any of the other hearts that we look at. Such an heart. A surrendered heart. A singing heart. A sensitive heart. Steadfast heart. A still heart. Number 7, Psalm 24. Psalms 24 and verse 3. Psalm 24, 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And here we see the spotless heart. David said it best in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. Well, preacher, how can I have a spotless heart? We're all sinners. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How's your heart today? How's your heart today? What does He see? Does He see that thing that you just keep holding on to? You just won't get it right with Him? So you see that thing from 2 weeks ago when the altar call was given? You said, I know I need to go forward, but I, you know, people are watching and I know I need to get this right but I kind of like it. Is that what He sees? Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Regard iniquity. It's like I put a fence around it in my heart. And you know what? God sees that. God sees that. I'm just saying this, we need to have the spotless heart of a heart that, okay, we're not perfect, we do sin. But that's why He says, come to me and get it right with me, and I'll cleanse you of that. And we can have the clean heart that David spoke of. We can have the pure heart that he spoke of, a spotless heart. Number 8, Psalm 27, verse 3. Psalms 27. And verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. And here we see number 8, a strong heart. A strong heart. Confidence in the Lord. Not confidence in ourselves, but confident that God is in control. If there's anything we need in this day and age, it is a strong heart knowing everything's okay. What's God see? What's God see in your heart today? That's what He's interested in. Not in our outward appearance. Not in, how many achievements we have done physically. No, God wants to know, hey, what's in your heart today? Are you trusting me? Do you believe me? Do you believe that I can take care of that thing? Do you believe that I'm going to meet that need and it's going to be my will and it's going to be done and you're going to be okay? Do you trust me? You know what? In our day and age, it takes a strong heart. A heart that is convinced this book is the Word of God and that God is God and that God is able. And we need some folks with a strong heart today. You know, I'm afraid God looks down. And again, He looks at what matters most. He looks at our heart, and we're kind of wimpy. We're kind of wavery. He needs to see a strong heart. You and I need to have a strong heart where we're confident in the Lord our God. Number 9, Psalms 27 and verse 8. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's the seeking heart. You know, that's that part of you. When you get saved, that's that part of you that really wants God. Amen. Amen. When you trust Christ as Savior, that's the Holy Spirit who wants to guide you to Jesus. You know, fooey on tongues and emotional experiences. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you to Jesus. He wants you to learn Jesus. He wants you to know Jesus. And He's crying out to you, hey, seek Jesus. What kind of heart do you have today? Well, I got to find out the score of this game. And I got to find out what's going on here. And I got to read the news about this. And the Holy Spirit says, no. Seek Jesus. A seeking heart. Seeking heart. If you search for me, you'll find me. If you seek for me with all your heart. If you search for me with all your heart. Hey, what kind of heart do you have today? Well, I'm seeking this. I'm seeking lots of money. I'm seeking lots of friends. I'm seeking lots of fame. But are you seeking God? Are you seeking God? Hey, seriously, could you say, like Psalm 27 and verse 8 here, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Because you'll find Him if you seek Him. A seeking heart. Such an heart. A surrendered heart. A singing heart. A sensitive heart. Steadfast heart. A still heart. A spotless heart. Strong heart. A seeking heart. Number 10, Psalm 34 and verse 18. Still in Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And here we see a soft heart. A soft heart. So many have hard hearts. So many folks, you know, we get hurt and our heart gets hard. We once had such a heart that was soft, and boy, preaching would take place and we would make decisions and it'd be so easy. Remember when you made decisions, it was just automatic. God's dealt with me, God's spoken to me. I've got to do it and I'm ready. And how sad that our hearts get hardened. But here the psalmist talks about a soft heart. And in a sense, I think about a broken heart which can be fixed the right way. You know, sometimes our hearts have to be broken so that God can fix them the right way. Just like He has to plow up that old hard, fallow ground. Sometimes, in order to mold us and make us what we need to be, sometimes those hearts have to be fixed the right way, which means breaking them. Hey, do you have a soft heart? Well, I'm mad at God. Oh, listen, don't ever be mad at God. Don't get bitter at God. Don't get upset at God. Have a soft heart and ask God, God, make my heart soft. Make my heart soft. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. All over this room are folks that have broken hearts. And you know what? God's right there. He's right there. Yes, He wants to help you with that broken heart. But more than that, more than the comfort that He gives, which praise God for the comfort He gives. Praise God for the way that He works and He comforts and He helps in that time. But that broken heart, He's trying to make it to be what it needs to be for Him. A soft heart. Number 11, Psalms 40 and verse 8. Lot of references to our heart in the book of Psalms. Psalms 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Number 11 is a scripture-filled heart. Scripture-filled heart. Notice what he says. I delight to do thy will. Who delights to do thy will? Oh, it's the one whose law is within my heart. You say, preacher, I really struggle with doing what God wants me to do. You won't if you have a scripture-filled heart. You fill your heart with the Word of God, and it is in a direct correlation with how you do the will of God. You say, I just don't want to do right. I want to do what I want to do. Listen to me. And there's a reason for that. It's because your heart is full of other things. Fill your heart with the Scriptures. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Where? In his heart. That I might not sin against thee. I'm reminded of Jesus when he was tempted of the devil. For each temptation of the three, each time Jesus responded with Scripture. Each time he overcame the temptation. I promise you this. If you will fight the devil with the Word of God, you too will overcome. We need God's people to have Scripture-filled hearts. Well, you know, I know the statistics of my basketball players and my team, and I know this about the baseball team, and I know all about the Red Wings, and I've got all that. But listen to me. You need the Word of God in your heart. Now, you know, we have a lot of folks reading through their Bible. Praise God. Read through it. But take time out. Get you a little card. Kind of like that right there. And write the Scripture on your little card. And just look at it. This is from Brother Collins. He and I exchange Scripture every week. Sometimes he gives commentaries. This time I gave him not only the Scripture, but I gave him a 3-point sermon that he can use. And we do that all every week. And he gave me Job 6:8. Oh, that God might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. And now this will sit over on my desk by my computer. I will see this every day. I will see it many times throughout the week. I will see this passage of Scripture, and I will read it, and I will read it over and over. And God will use that in my. Are you listening? Now, you could put this in your favorite place. That would, for many of you, that'd be the refrigerator. Right on the refrigerator or right in the refrigerator. Amen. You could put it on the cookie jar. That's a good place. And get the Word of God in your heart. Amen. I mean, seriously, get it in your heart, because that is the best thing for you. We need, and besides that, what it does for us, what a wonderful thing. But let me ask you a question. Do you really think God cares who scored the most points for the Detroit Pistons? Do you think God really cares about some of the statistics that you dwell on all the time and some of the? Now, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying, what do you suppose God would like to see in our hearts? He'd like to see His Word. He'd like to see His Word in our hearts, a Scripture-filled
heart.
Number one, such a heart, surrendered heart, singing heart, sensitive heart, a steadfast heart, a still heart, a spotless heart, a strong heart, a seeking heart, a soft heart, a scripture-filled heart. Number 12, Psalm 57, verse 7. Psalms 57 and verse 7. Boy, I like this. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And here we have number 12 is a stable heart. Boy, we need that today. My heart is fixed. I started to put stubborn, but stubborn's usually bad. But you know what? We need some people who are stubborn for the things of God. For the Word of God, for the doctrines of God. I love it. My heart is fixed. David said, I shall not be moved. In our day, everything in the cosmos, the world, is set to move us. We cannot lose our salvation. When you get saved, you're saved. Praise God. But the old devil, as he did David, he moved David to number the people. You know, the old devil's trying to move us to do all kinds of wacky stuff. The devil parents constantly, he's trying to move you, and it will be to the detriment of your kids. Constantly, all directions, trying to move us this way, move us that way, shift us here, shift us there. And the psalmist said, my heart is fixed. Stable. In the New Testament it says, rooted and grounded. Boy, I like that. Rooted. It's not going to move. James said that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And you know what? If you're double-minded today, you're moved constantly. You need a stable heart. Hey, get it down. Nail it down. This is the Word of God. The old King James Bible, it is the Word of God. I'm not moving. I'm not going to move. Doesn't matter if people don't like it. Doesn't matter if somebody is against it. It is the Word of God. And what it says is true, and it is God's Word to me. It is God's letter to me. It is God's love letter to me. And what it says is true. It's right for me, and I'm not going to move. My heart is fixed. That is a stable heart. Psalm 119, verse 32 is number 13. You say, how far are you going, preacher? Till I'm done. Psalms 119, verse 32. Oh, I love this. Psalm 119, 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Number 13 is a stretched heart. I love that. Because it started with an S. Amen? It's a stretched heart. He says, look what he says. He says, I'll run the way of thy commandments. Isn't that good? I mean, in our day and age, everybody wants to run away from His commandments. Well, God didn't really mean that. You hear that all the time. Oh, God didn't mean that. Hey, you know what? If God said it, surely He meant it. So here's what the psalmist is telling us here. He says, I'll run the way of thy commandments. Not run away from thy commandments. I'll run with thy commandments and the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Stretch my heart. What do you mean? Enlarge it so that it will accept the will of God. Enlarge it. Stretch my heart. God, there's so much junk in it. Enlarge it that I might accept your will for me. Because I've got things figured out all different. I want to accept your will, God. I want you to make me willing. Stretch me, God. So that I'm not so narrow-minded to think that it's all about making money. So I'm not so narrow-minded to think it's all about our appearance. So I'm not so narrow-minded to think that Saul was a great king because he was tall. God, stretch my heart so I can accept that it's the weak things. It's the weak things. Stretch my heart, God, so that I can accept that it's not by works of righteousness. It's according to your mercy. Stretch my heart, God, that I can accept that without you, I'm nothing. Stretch that heart, God, please enlarge my heart, and then your commandments will be something I pursue instead of run from. Oh, if just a couple folks would say that today, I'll tell you what, it changed so much. Because you fight it. And you know, yeah, but I can only handle so much. God, stretch my heart so I accept what you have for me. Stretch my heart. Number 14, Psalms 119, verse 112. Boy, this is good. Psalm 119, 112. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. And there we see the servant's heart. What do you mean? Inclined. What's that mean? That means leaning toward. I'm leaning toward performing thy statutes always. And it's very much like the last part, the last point, where we're running from the commandments. Now I'm leaning toward doing whatever he says. By the way, when you're leaning toward it and he says, do this, it's a whole lot easier to do it than when you're leaning away from it. It amazes me how many folks will come in with the idea, well, if he preaches on this, I'm not going to do anything. You know, well, if the preacher talks about this thing, I know what I'm going to do. You know, I'm not, and what we should do is come in and have our hearts leaning toward whatever God wants. That's the servant. The servant says, your wish is my command. It's like the mighty men that King David had. And King David says, oh, that I could just have a drink from the well in Bethlehem. And those three mighty men, I love the story. I preach on it about every year, it seems like. I love it. Those three mighty men, they heard the king say, by the way, they were leaning toward the king's voice. And he just out of the blue. I mean, David didn't ask them to go get him a drink from the well. David didn't command them to go get a drink from the well. You know, it's so opposite of the way it is today, where people say, well, God didn't necessarily say that. They were leaning toward, wonder what we could do for our king. I wonder how we could please the king. And their hearts were inclined toward whatever he wanted. And you know those three mighty men? You say, what's the big deal? Going to a well and getting water. The big deal is the Philistine army was encamped in Bethlehem and surrounded that well. And those three mighty men went and got a cup full of water out of that well and fought their way through the Philistine army. And they went back to their king and said, King, here's that water that you wanted. Oh, glory to God. That's a servant. That's a servant's heart. A servant's heart that leans toward performing whatever he wants. Doesn't matter. What's God see in your heart today? Does he see the heart leaning toward God, I'll do whatever you want? Or does he see a heart, oh, there's another stupid sign-up sheet. Here we go, needing something done again. Oh, praise God for the people that see the sign-up sheets and say, wow, I get to serve God. Wow. I remember as a new Christian sitting in the Marian Baptist Temple, and I'm this is so vivid to me, and I was still a long-haired hippie and just a new Christian, and I sat there, and I remember the preacher saying, we need some help. And I thought, me? I could help? And he said, who will? And I remember sitting toward the back. We were sitting right about back in there somewhere. And I remember looking around thinking, the hands are going to go up like crazy. He won't even see me. And you know, it was kind of like this church sometimes. Not a hand went up. But I was kind of silly. I wanted to make sure he saw me. I wanted to make sure, hey, when all the hands go up, and everybody stands up and they start really begging to be able to serve, I want to make sure he sees me. And so I was ready. And he said, okay, who could do this? And I mean, I'm like, oh! And it's like, whoa. Oh, it's the hippie. Oh, let me tell you, folks, I want to have that kind of heart all the time. I want to have it now instead of inclining away from doing whatever God wants. I want to incline toward His voice. A servant's heart. Number 15, Ecclesiastes 8, verse 5. You'll notice how we're moving through the Bible here. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Number 15 is a sensible heart. Wisdom to discern and make sense out of things. That's a person that makes good decisions. Sensible heart. Not a heart that goes along with feelings. Not a heart that goes along with popular opinion. But a sensible heart. A heart that seeks the wisdom of God Almighty. A wise man's heart that discerns both time and judgment. Oh, do you have a sensible heart today? Or do you just react to everything? Do you have a sensible heart? Like I talked about on Wednesday night, slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. You know, you just react to everything. The sensible heart chews on things, thinks about things, and then responds accordingly. Oh, we need more people with a sensible heart. Lamentations 3, verse 51. Lamentations 3, right after Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, 51. The Bible says, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. And here's a sympathizing heart. Here, tears of sympathy. Seeing people hurting, which leads you to action. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. When is the last time you really looked around? See, one of the biggest problems with us having our eyes on us is we miss out on everybody else. And you know the best cure for having our eyes on us is to get our eyes on somebody else. Somebody who has it worse than you do. Somebody who's going through a tougher time than you are. And here in Lamentations, I saw people who were hurting and the tears, it affected my heart. A sympathizing heart. And you know, that should lead us to do something. Praise God. So many here have that kind of heart. What does God see in your heart? Number 17 is Ezekiel 36. And verse 26, Ezekiel 36, 26. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And number 17 is a spiritual heart. It's that heart that we receive its salvation. It's a new heart. It's a spiritual heart. It's a new spirit. It's a spirit, a spiritual heart that can grow spiritually if you feed it spiritual food. Amen. Amen. Somebody says, well, you know, I've been saved. I haven't been growing very much. That's because you're not feeding your spirit. That spiritual heart needs spiritual things. That spiritual heart craves the Word of God. That spiritual heart craves a walk with God. That spiritual heart craves the preaching of God's Word. It craves a walking time with God where you meditate on the things of God. That spiritual heart is the kind of heart God wants to see in every one of us as He looks at us. Oh, but you know, I've gotten a lot of awards as a Christian. But you know what? God wants to know what's in your heart. What's in your heart? Number 18, Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Joel 2, verse 12. So you're going to go through the whole Bible? Well, don't forget, we have part 2 tonight. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12, page 1404 in your super giant print Bible. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And here is a serious heart. Wow. Serious. Look at it. Turn to me with your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. And rend your heart. That means to rip. And not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God. That's somebody that's serious. You say, well, preacher, is there anything really that serious? Well, I don't know. How about that thing you've been praying about? I remember all night long begging God to save my dad. That was pretty serious. I don't know. Is there anything really that serious? Preacher, would you pray for it? Well, let me ask you a question. Would you pray for it? Hello? Well, you know, I mean, I'm just putting it on the prayer. Well, I mean, is it important? Do you pray for it? Do you fast over it? Do you weep? God's looking for some folks that have a serious heart. Dr. Tom Williams is coming in March. He'll have his school of prayer. I'm curious how many will come. There will be time of prayer. With Brother Williams, it may be, you don't know how long it may be in prayer. I've prayed with Brother Williams. I prayed for hours with Brother Williams. I prayed for hours, just me and God. But serious, is this serious? I'm really concerned about the United States. But when is the last time you prayed for our president? Well, you say a lot of things about him, but when's the last time you just really got down before God and prayed for him? See, it is serious, isn't it? It is serious. God's looking for a serious heart. Two more and we're done. Acts 2, verse 46. Acts 2, verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. A single heart. What are you talking about? I'm talking about us as a group having one heart. One heart. One heart that provides for all. Singleness of heart. By the way, that's that New Testament church where thousands of people got saved. One heart. I don't know why he has to do this. I don't know why you can't get on your face before God and ask him why he has to do this instead of talking to everybody else about it. And saying, God, change my heart. Singleness of heart. In other words, one heart trying to do what God wants. And that being the most important thing. What God wants. Praise God. Single heart. And the last thing is in Hebrews 10. Could have chosen several more, and we will have some, obviously, tonight. But Hebrews 10, we'll look at the other side of things tonight. Hebrews 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And we have a sanctified heart set apart What do you mean? Draw near to God. And as you draw near to God, you draw away from that evil conscience. Draw near to God, and you go away from sin. Draw near to God, you go away from self. Draw near to God, and you're setting yourself apart, sanctified, set apart, so that God can use you. Oh, we need to have a sanctified heart where we're set apart for God and no one else. No man can serve two masters. Which one do you draw near to? What would God say? I'm reminded the Lord looketh on the heart. What's He see as He examines your heart today? What does He see? Well, I'm kind of like Eliab. I mean, I'm a pillar here. But what's God see? Yeah, but if anybody's going to be chosen, I mean, certainly it would be me. I've got the education. But what does God see? What's God see? When God looks, what He looks for. The Lord looketh on the heart. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's talking. Perhaps you're here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. You need to realize how much God loves you. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for your sins. And we want you to have an opportunity to be saved today. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. If I died this morning, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved." Anyone? Pray for me. I'm not sure. How many Christians would say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart this morning about something in my life. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? All over. All over. Father, bless the invitation. And I do pray that You would work as the great physician on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. 318, 318 in your hymnals. "Give me thy heart." God's speaking your heart today, and you need to come. Do not hesitate. You come and pray about whatever God's laid on your heart.
"Give me thy heart, says the Father above. No gift so precious to Him as our love. Softly He whispers wherever thou art. Gratefully trust me and give me thy heart. Give me thy heart.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. "Give me thy heart." Does He have your heart today? Does He have your whole heart? Does He have a spotless heart? Is that what He sees today? Oh, I've gotten it right. I've gotten things right with the Lord. Amen. But is there something there? Come and pray about it. Get it right. What does He see when He looks at our hearts? Does He see His Word there in your heart? Does He see that servant's heart, willing, ready, just to do whatever He wants? Still time. Folks are still praying. If you need to make a decision, you come. Thank you. Amen. All right, look up this way, please. 4:30, ensemble practice. 5 o'clock, all the choirs. Teens will meet, men's prayer, ladies' prayer time. Then 6 o'clock, the evening service. Tonight I'll give you part 2. You say, you have 20 more? No, there's not that many. I don't know if there's that many S's in the dictionary. No, there is, but supercalifragilistic. No. But anyway, I wonder what kind of heart that would be. I don't know. But strange heart. There's another one. Now, that might have been one of my points, so be careful. All right, so Brother Don, would you close in prayer, please?
Father, we do thank you for the examples that you've given to us in your word as a type of character that you would desire that we would have. Father, realizing that the core of man is the heart that you talk of so eloquently. The characteristics, Lord, that you would have us to have. Lord, give us this week a time of meditating upon these characteristics and allow you and your Holy Spirit to apply them to our lives. A stretched heart, a seeking heart, a soft heart, a sensitive heart. May we acquire those with our heart this week. Go with us, guide us, direct us. Lord, may we point others to Christ. Father, bring us again safely together this evening. We pray in Jesus' name and for His